There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Tuesday. A few things happening. Shout out to the person who won the tickets to the Detroit Lions game on a Texas Ticket Tuesday.
Shout out to Trey.
There you
Trey.
Go, Trey. Yeah. Hope you enjoy that game. That's one thing I'm really interested with this game is what is the distribution between fans going to look like.
A lot of Michiganders in Houston, man.
A lot of Michiganders. Yeah. Detroit is a really good team, and it hasn't been for a long time. So you imagine fans are going to want to travel for this team. And I've seen some of the Texans fans, some like the despondence that has kind of set in some ways with Texans fans. I saw somebody selling their ticket earlier, and I admittedly, they did say they wanted to try and make sure to sell it to a Texans fan. But yeah. I do wonder, like, I've seen people say that, I don't know if I'm going to go to this game. And I wonder if that then leads to more Lions fans in that building on Sunday.
It happens fast, too.
Yeah.
It happens fast. One way, in one direction and the other.
Yeah. Shout out to you, being a Texas fan at the bullpen, in the bullpen, courtesy of the Texas Ticket Tuesday. Also, hope that you were having a good election day. Because trade deadline day has been still pretty quiet or entirely quiet for your Texans. We anticipate it probably being quiet the whole way through, but we're continuing to watch that space on the off chance that maybe Nick Caserio surprises us and the reporters who have reported that they are unlikely to make a move. D'Amico Ryans, talking about this team, like, it wasn't great yesterday, John.
No, it was bad. I'll say it. I get that. D'Amico Ryans, and I firmly believe this, I've known him since he was a player, is one of the finest people you will ever meet. Just a great human being. Doesn't mean he doesn't have a bad day. And I think he had a really bad day yesterday. And the reason is, I told you guys before the show, I thought that was his worst day in front of the public, maybe ever. Because here we are, it's so obvious what the problems are with this team. It's so obvious on Thursday night, when he was much more, transparent with his feelings about what needed to be done and some of the things that might be done, angry, about as angry as you could hear him publicly. Well, 4 days later, whatever it was, he comes out and it's just variations of the same theme that are not answers that anyone wants to hear.
Yeah, we don't have to play all of them, but I want to give you a taste. I'm sure that you, if mm-hmm. keep it locked on Sports Radio 610, you've heard him. But just the reiteration, right? He was asked on things that you may not have tried yet to get the pass blocking back on track.
This it's not just, you know, everybody's focus is just on the pass blocking, and of course we've had some bad reps in the pass blocking, but it's everybody working together. It's an entire offense working together, right? It's never just one thing, right? And I know it's easy to point the finger at one thing. It's never just one thing. It's all 11 guys working together, being in sync.
Nobody wants to hear it's everybody. And by the way, you're going to hear that again several times. He had variations of it's fixable, it's everybody. And my favorite, we all have to play better. We know that.
Yeah.
Like, we know that.
And that was the thing that was like, that was the thing that was a little frustrating within it. It was, okay, but we asked you about something specific.
Exactly.
Here. Like, that's not to say that's the only thing, but can you give us some insight into this thing? And somebody said, what are you supposed to say? Give us a little insight, especially like the questions are asked because it's clearly a place that you've been talking about and that's been an issue, been talking about needs to get better. And the idea is, well, we ask you this maybe to surmise if you haven't some idea of how to fix it. And it seems like the only idea of how to fix it, and maybe this is ultimately the case, but some idea of how to fix it is those we are doing what we have to already. You guys, the players, just have to do the rest.
Yeah.
That's not really palatable, but if that's the answer, I guess. But it doesn't feel like that's the answer to all the questions.
No, and to answer that text, and we've had multiple of them, Delegate, what is he supposed to say? Look, like, first of all, not to fans. You are talking to the public. You are talking to your paying customers who are very frustrated about 8 sacks, about your quarterback being sacked the second most in the entire NFL. And the second part of that is he was a little more, you know, to the point when his emotions were raw right after the game. And also, you know, you talk about accountability. We all have to be accountable. And yet it's not exactly what you're doing there is making players accountable and making, and you don't say, hey, we're going to trade for this guy or we're not going to trade for this guy or whatever. But just to put it out there that these guys need to be more accountable, like Ime Udoka, we talked about it earlier, flat out said, hey, maybe, I'm paraphrasing, he said, you know, maybe Alperen Sengun's just not in good enough shape. Called him out, made him accountable publicly. Sengun comes back and goes 25-14. I mean, that's something he could have done.
Yeah, or, I mean, and of course, I understand why a coach would not want to put, like, you know, game plan type things
right,
out there.
Right,
but
yeah, especially somebody like let's say it's Kenyon Green.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think he wanted to personally call out Kenyon Green, like, if this was the only problem.
But Green was already injured. I mean, you know, maybe some insight on, we have to get this out of these particular players.
Yeah, I personally would love to see if you would get any level of insight into how to get to that space.
Yes.
Because that is a question that we're forced to ask at this point because you've said it needs to get better over a period of time. You keep asking, all right, we have to play better. Is it known how to get to that space?
Right? Yeah.
Like, that is the question that you are left asking because of the situation. Actually, can I move to the coach show here? Because I found a few of the things that we heard from D'Amico in the coach's show to be more interesting, as it seems like maybe that's a space where he feels more comfortable expressing himself. And I thought we learned a few things about how D'Amico Ryans is operating. This is Coach Show 3 here. Because John Harris, Mark Vandermeer, obviously on the radio broadcast of the Texans games that you can hear right here on Sports Radio 610. They asked him after, you know, and of course this happens yesterday, a few days after the game on Thursday. In watching back the film now, did your frustrations of the last game change at all having watched the film later?
It's the same frustration for me. I wish it was different, but it's the same. It's just like we were in a really good spot going into the half. And I mean, just to come out at halftime and it's something we kind of been focusing on is being better coming out of the half and for us to not stop the run.
Yeah,
it was just the same that this doesn't sit well with me, right? How we fit the run. That's the one thing. And then just operation, like just not playing the right way offensively.
Yep.
Right, and we got ourselves in, you know, in shooting range, right? We were there across midfield a couple times, and then we find ourselves going backwards.
Look,
that's way more of an answer than we got.
No, he's better on the coach's show.
Yeah.
But maybe that's part of the answer, too, as to why it's so frustrating to hear him publicly. I don't know what his – I don't know if he's just conditioned from, you know, say nothing – you know, as a player, a lot of players are taught by their coaches, say nothing. And when you're private, say very little. I think maybe he's just conditioned to not want to say or give away too much. Or the other possibility is maybe he's just as lost, you know, I know they're looking for answers, but just as lost as at what they need really can do, as anyone.
Yeah, and so in trying to, you know, in listening to the coach's show and finding some things really interesting, he was also asked, do y'all self-scout at this halfway point in the season? Because we're 9 games in of the 17, which is above halfway through. D'Amico Ryans, do y'all self-scout?
is definitely a self-scout, and I'm always about self-scouting after every four games just to get a quick snapshot. But this time you're able to really just, you know, take a breather and digest the information and see, okay, you know, what are our tendencies, where have we been heavy, where can we change things up a little bit, and where can we just lean into putting our players in the best position possible for them to succeed after a snapshot of nine weeks.
Right.
You get to see, okay, this player is really, you know, excelled in this area, not so well in this area, so we can lean more this way. So it's a lot of that self-reflection and really looking into who we really are.
Yep.
And as I talk through it with our coaches, it's like each season is different. Each team is different. Yep. And you kind of, your team kind of shapes itself throughout the season. And you kind of see, okay, this is our 2024 identity.
Right,
this
right.
is what we kind of need to do to win games moving forward.
You know, when I heard that, the first thing I thought of, it's what actually gave me the thought about what we talked about at 10 this morning. Like, they're still in this to win it, and they could still, you know, get Nico back and, you know, a little better protection, as you talked about, just, you know, raise the floor just a little bit and count on the defense. And who knows, you know, maybe they can get to the divisional round, actually win a divisional playoff game, get to the and then to have a puncher's chance, because maybe he's saying, well, we got players that we can kind of put in position, better position to help us. But at the same time, maybe they also realize we probably should not make a trade, because one trade isn't going to do it, first of all. And we're probably going to have to totally revamp things after the offseason, but let's go as far as we can with what we have.
Well, I'm not sure if I fully agree with that perspective from them, if that is where they're coming from. But I did appreciate this reminder of kind of the way that coaches often, and particularly D'Amico Ryans, segment the season into kind of four game chunks. And I guess in this way it's a little different, because you have that extra game. Now you get this five game chunk to get to nine games. Will we see some shifts from this team because it comes at that line of demarcation? It's one of the reasons why I always say that, you know, milestones offer you an opportunity to reflect.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons why New Year's Eve or New Year's Day give you resolutions and stuff, because it gives you a natural opportunity to reflect. In this midway point supposedly gives them an opportunity to reflect. Is it possible that we see some better, you know, better shifts in the way that they utilize certain players?
Mm-hmm.
One of the ones that's obviously there, a lot of Bobby Slowick stuff. If they are self-scouting and seeing, okay, you know, CJ Stroud is, you know, obviously getting a ton of pressure, obviously, and now you're seeing him maybe not getting the ball out as quick, ending up with eight sacks, in part because of your offensive line, but sometimes because he's holding on to the ball and not getting it out. Are you going to see some maybe not major, but some shifts
major.
They handle, just because this is a milestone point where you get an opportunity to really look.
Maybe major, and certainly major on the offensive line. I mean, somebody's going to be playing left guard. It's just a matter of who, you know, who's going to be healthy. Do they make any other big changes? So yes, major in that respect. But I also think yes, this self scouting is all about the offense and all about how do we prevent, you know, CJ Stroud from becoming a shell of what he was last year because of shell shock. And how do we get, you know, players in better positions to move the ball and get points in the second half? Absolutely.
And so that, for me, you have the long week and the reminder that this is one of those milestone points where you get a look. I'll be real disappointed if I don't see some shifts in the way that they handle things.
Yes.
Because that will then give me, I feel like that'll give me enough to feel like, okay, they might not have real answers on a schematic level. And it really is just the players have to get better. And that, I don't know if that's like a plan necessarily. It's probably true, but I don't know if that's a plan to, you know, to move forward.
Totally agree.
Finally, I thought this was a really fun or interesting question that was asked when it comes to injury decisions for D'Amico. How tough are injury decisions when a guy is close to return and maybe 50-50 to play that week?
Oh, that's one of the toughest spots of being a head coach, right? Of having to make that call of the guy's close, but we still don't know. For me, I'll always lean towards making sure a player long-term health is always at the forefront of my decision, as opposed to, oh, come back a week too soon, and now we lose you for, call it 4 or 5 more weeks.
Yep.
So let's make sure, right, you can practice throughout the week,
right?
And let's make sure you can show your teammates and yourself, you can gain that confidence, oh, I can go out and perform my job to the highest level.
You have to tell them to sit down? Like, hey, you got to sit, and they want to play?
Sometimes throughout my conversation with them, I talk around, and I let them make that decision.
Okay.
And he's shown that consistently this year. Like most of their injuries, they've, you know, we might make Christian Harrison, you know, an outlier on this because we haven't heard anything on him. But most injuries, they've erred to the side of caution.
And does that give you a level of, I don't know, solace or relief when you think of guys like Azeez Al-Shaair, who's missed a lot of times? Nico Collins went on IR, and we haven't necessarily heard about him coming back. They said that he is, you know, they're watching him during the course of this week. Does that give you a level of confidence in that, the idea that maybe they're not in as deep of trouble, like health-wise, it's just they're you know, being very careful with them?
100%. I think that's one thing they've been really good at and consistent at. Again, outside of, you know, whatever's going on with Christian Harris.
So there you go. Some of D'Amico talking, it was odd. And I know someone's like on the text line, 5 Hour Energy fan line, asking, you know, why does D'Amico Ryans have to give you insight? First of all, he does give insight in some instances. So I think that's the thing. That's one of the things that's odd to me, is that, you know, the different instances where he will and will not. But second of all, I guess in theory, he does not have to, but it does. It continues to perpetrate perpetuate, rather, is the word I was looking for, the environment that it seems like he does not like when there's less information. And not saying that he has to give us all of the information. That would be absurd for me to ask. But it seems to, like, the questions that are asked don't go away because you did not answer the question. In fact, they grow sometimes.
Sometimes they get worse, yes. Sometimes they get worse. So that's why it was not a good day for D'Amico and how he handled these things.
And of course, we end this segment talking about what D'Amico has said and hasn't. From the 281, guys, has anyone asked for an update on Christian here?
What's that update, Figgy?
The update is the update. Okay, I'll let you know when we get it.
That's right. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Thank you for hanging out with us. Coming up next, about time to hand it over to Fig for the mixtape. What we got?
Yeah, man, today is election day. In honor of that, I came across a list of owners who donated to a political party and how much they donated. So what I want us to do, I want to have some fun with this. I want us to compare what they donated and what that would be like if it was a cookout.
Okay.
I love it.
Yeah, so that, and a former Texan speaks out on the Milk Dud head coach.
Oh, no.
And I want to see how this, with the season panning out how it is, I want to see if he got a point right here.
Oh, goodness. All right. Lord. We might come back and get mad at us. We'll do that next.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
The aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to everyone out there. Happy Election Day. It's almost over. So no more text messages, no more commercials, no more complaining about the commercials on the text line and all that good stuff. Yeah. So we almost here. And
my name is Reggie, and I approve that message.
Yes.
Yeah. we gonna talk about a little fun kind of election thingy, I guess, mm-hmm. at the end. But
election related.
Yeah, election. Yeah, election related. But before we get to that, I got to get to the Milk Dud Man, as Steven Nelson, former Texan, called D'Amico Ryans.
Mm-hmm.
And remember earlier, I want to say it was earlier this year, last year, he was criticizing D'Amico Ryans a lot.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of the reasons he probably didn't come back mm-hmm. to the Houston Texans, end up retiring. So happy retirement to him. But he's still out here putting out content, man. He have a podcast called the Corner Suite mm-hmm. Podcast. And he has some things to say about D'Amico Ryans. And this was after the Jets game. And I want to, honestly, it was tough for him to, it was tough for me to kind of hear him criticize D'Amico Ryans mm-hmm. early on.
Yeah.
Now I want to play this. I wonder if he have a point
okay.
now, because we starting to see some flaws in D'Amico Ryans now. And we really didn't see those flaws last year, but now a lot of people starting to have that conversation now that you can tell the honeymoon phase is over.
Mm-hmm.
So now we just criticized him last segment. So I want to know, if do Steven Nelson actually have a point in what he was saying? This is Steven Nelson on the Corner Suite Podcast, pretty much talking about D'Amico Ryans, the head coach, and I guess is this fair criticism?
Okay.
D'Amico Ryans continuously put his players in harm's way, specifically talking about the secondary, you know, and that's what you're going to get when you got a linebacker-ish head coach. He's going to, you know, draw plays as much as he knows, as much as his brain can think. He don't know nothing about no secondary. He doesn't even care about all that. His whole thought process is based on stopping that run, front seven type of thing. Secondary guys, hey man, y'all got that on y'all on y'all own. That's how linebackers think. So you got a guy that's been DC over San Fran, had some success, come over here, be the head coach. I mean, the philosophies don't really change. The thought process doesn't really change. So that's why you get Jalen Pretry in unfavorable positions like that.
Now, I wonder, like, do you feel like he actually have a point with that? Maybe the weakness in the D'Amico Ryans defense is the secondary. Do you feel like he actually have a point to that?
First of all, the weakness is the secondary. We talked about it, I believe, yesterday. They've given up more passing touchdowns than anybody this year. So I don't necessarily mean that correlate that with he's got a point, but right now is a good time to bring it up because they have been giving up some TDs.
Now, if he would have said this before the season, then we would be like, get out of here, yo bitter ass.
Yeah.
Get out of here. But you feel like he got a point, though?
Whew, it's tough because it feels like it's not coming from a good place, I'll tell you that. But one of the things that we have talked a lot about is the ways in which they have a lot of trust in Jalen Pretry mm-hmm. in man defense covering, and maybe it's to a degree that you probably shouldn't. Now, I do wonder how much of that is out of somewhat necessity. If you're going to play man, he's going to have to play man as well, and I don't know that you have another guy there. It'll be interesting to see how much that continues to persist with Jeff Okuda. If once he's activated fully, once he's able to get out there mm-hmm. and play snaps on game day for you, if you continue to see Jalen Pretry having to kind of have those snaps in man. But they did, there were some instances where they were playing a lot of man, and I'm asking why you're playing so much man in some of these instances.
Yeah.
I would not nearly go as far as, well, that's because he's a linebacker. Linebackers don't know nothing about what's behind them. I wouldn't go that far by any means. But there have been some instances to question, like, the decision to play man or play defense in some of the ways that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and look, I know Steven Nelson, it wasn't the sexiest send-off for him with this organization. He threw some shots at Nick Caserio.
Yeah.
And he called D'Amico Ryans the milk dud, man. I think he called him a meathead at one point, meathead coach. But it seemed like it's starting to hit home a little bit now where we are seeing the struggles with the secondary.
I wouldn't go all the way that far.
Yeah, but it seemed like it hit a little different than it did in the offseason when Steven Nelson was talking a little more. But maybe, I guess, stay tuned to that. Young Thug is free. I don't know if y'all familiar with Young Thug, the rapper, but he is free. He is home. He been, been in jail for like 2 years fighting the a RICO case.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I thought it was over with for him, man. I thought they was going to slap him with like 45 years or life or something like that. He had a lot going on, but.
Those RICO charges.
Yeah, those are hard to. They have to have a good case against
them. They put together a real sloppy case.
It was a wild case. Yeah. I can't wait to see this documentary on this case.
Yeah.
But he's home. He's on a 15-year probation.
Yikes.
That is going to be 15 years, man. So I'm going to read, I'm going to go down the list of things he cannot do in this probation. So he is banned from Metro Atlanta for 10 years, except for family weddings, funerals, graduations, or serious illness.
He's about to be like Uncle Junior in The Sopranos. Just everybody's having a funeral, getting married somehow.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Pulp Fiction. Your L.A. rights have been revoked.
Okay.
Your Atlanta rights have been revoked.
Yeah. So another thing he cannot, he have to do is he must get 4 annual anti-gang / gun presentations or concerts in Metro Atlanta. So technically, I guess
he can come back for those.
For the concert.
Yeah, he can come back for that.
It's going to be all concerts, right?
I don't know. He might mix it up.
Yeah, I can see that. He also, he can't have any contact with any gang members or co-defendants except for his brother and Gunna, who is another rapper that's under his label.
YSL.
Yep. And also, he is forbidden from promoting gang-related content in any form. So I'm guessing that's including songs, videos, and all that stuff, which that last part kind of hit home with me a little bit. And this have to do with AI. So we know how dangerous AI can get. And I want to
crossover.
Yeah,
it's a bad joke that people have made a trillion times. I apologize.
Yeah, I want to play this song for you, man. I want, and this is a song that was kind of going all over the place with allegedly Young Thug. I guess this was supposed to be his coming home song. I just want to get y'all thoughts on this.
Yeah, I was just screaming. The judge came out of court with my middle fingers up. Brian Steele, that's my lawyer, is plus. In the cell, all I did was to eat Doritos. Got no bail, man. I really had to free my ego.
So this is an AI song.
Oh yeah,
somebody made this song. This is Young Thug did not make this song. Somebody made an AI song, pretty much trying to say, "Oh, this was his first song out."
Oh, trying to get him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a little dangerous,
That's
man.
Scary.
That's a little dangerous because when if you know we say forbidden from promoting gang related content in any form. When if the judge said, "Hey, wait a minute, that's a Young Thug song."
Yeah. I feel like that can't get be actionable though, right? Like, you can
disprove it so easily. You can,
but that's kind of scary, man.
No, it's definitely scary.
That's very scary. I thought that was a red flag, man.
Honestly, what I find to be more scary in that particular situation of like can't promote gang violence is like the whole case was basically trying to take, you know, his you know, current music and whatever and basically, you know, link it to some level of like gang affiliation or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like that was the whole case. And it felt like it was very far ranging. Right. And I know that there's some people that will be like, well, yeah, that's what happens in rap music. But like,
yeah,
there was almost like a dangerous association being made that almost by, you know, the DA and such. And the prosecution that almost seemed to indicate that like rap music is inextricably linked to nefarious behavior and criminality. And that's a dangerous place to go. And depending on what judge or what have you, like how they interpret it, that kind of interpretation could basically make it so that like his music in general is untenable. If they're like anything that you do, depending on how it sounds, like is attached to criminality, and we can interpret that as, you know, promoting gang violence, then you're in a bad space.
You almost can't do anything new.
He gonna strictly have to do some type of R&B.
Yeah,
make love song.
R&B make love song.
Yeah, a lot of people gonna be tuned in to him to see what type of songs he gonna start making content wise. because it's a little tricky. That's a whole different rabbit hole, though, man.
I know you want to get something else here, but I'm still fascinated by the terms of the probation. Because, like, for most people, this is the easiest thing in the world. Don't go to Atlanta.
Just
cool,
stay home.
I can do that.
Yep.
Don't affiliate with gangs. Never do.
Yeah.
Forbidden from promoting gang.
Move to the Netherlands.
This is the easiest. This should be.
I would be out.
Yeah,
but Lopez, what if somebody came around? Don't promote gangs. Except we know the gangs typically have a lot of fishing paraphernalia in there.
No,
so if we see you with fishing paraphernalia, we're going to assume that you're in a gang, right?
Like, how do you know I'm not?
All of a sudden, you know what? I had not considered it.
Have y'all seen that movie, Three Strikes?
Yeah. No, but what I'm saying is, like, for most people, but this is going to be next to impossible for him.
Yeah.
Like, this is the easiest probation ever.
Yeah. It's tough, but like I said, that AI song, that's a little scary, man.
They told him to go make some country songs.
Yeah.
Get on his Kirk Franklin, make some gospel.
That's right.
He's going to have to do something. So it's election time today, and I actually ran across this list of different owners in the NFL who donated to whichever party they wanted to donate to.
Yeah. Who put in.
Yeah.
Who put in the pot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to run down this list real quick. So the Waltons, shout out to Walmart.
They own the Broncos.
Yeah, they own the Broncos. They donated $20.6 million.
Big money.
Yep.
Big money. They brought the ribs. They brought the rack of ribs.
Yeah.
All the fine meats that are being put.
They got Wagyu, man.
Yeah, that's what I want to get to.
They
in
brought
minute.
All that.
So the Jets, they donated $800,000.
Woody Johnson.
Yep, Woody Johnson.
He's like, I'll bring the hot dogs. I got the hot dogs.
$800,000 is hot dogs.
Hot dogs and hamburgers. I got you.
Yeah.
Yep. Jimmy Haslam for the Browns. He donated $729,000.
Potato salad and beans.
Yeah.
Potato salad and beans.
He's like, you need this on the plate.
Yeah, it's gonna be important.
Yeah.
Edward Glazer of the Tampa Bay Bucks donated $722,000.
What's that? That's important. That's got to be a little dessert, maybe.
Oh yeah, there you go.
A little dessert, a little apple pie.
Depending on the cookout theme, he might have brought the mac and cheese.
$20.6 million, though. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike Bidwell of the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah. Of the Arizona Bidwells.
He donated $120,000.
Right. He brought buns.
A little more than buns, maybe. $120,000, maybe.
Now he brought buns.
That's still a lot for the donation,
the iced tea.
Though, man.
Okay.
He brought the iced tea.
Got to get you a drink.
All right. It's about to get a little tricky now.
All right.
Stephen Ross, the owner of the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
35 G's.
Wait, what?
$35,000.
Now we're talking buns at most.
I mean, you kind of need the buns for the hot dogs and hamburgers.
$35,000 is less than buns then.
Okay.
Yeah. So, wait, hold that thought. Somebody going to say, hold my beer. Robert Kraft donated $22,000.
Thousand or million?
Thousand.
He said 22 million. That's wild.
Jerry Jones.
All right.
20 G's.
That's a drop in the bucket. He's just trying to be involved. He just wants to be a part of the party.
All right. Now, here we go,
Jerry
man.
Jones brought monogram cups.
Yes.
All right. Now, let's get to John Lopez's best friend, Amy Adams Strunk.
Oh. Stephen Ross and Robert Kraft brought forks and napkins. Thank you to the YouTube.
Yes.
I'm curious to know how much what Amy Adams brought.
Okay.
$3,300.
She donated $3,000.
Amy Adams did.
Not $3,000, $3,300.
Yeah, somebody said them fellas brought ice. She brought what I bring sometimes to a cookout, which is my incredible personality and a generous appetite. That's what she brought
$3,300.
She brought koozies that were in a drawer at her house with other logos on them. She didn't even like that. Yeah, it's going to be like K&K Construction, you know, is on one koozie. The next koozie is going to be like the so and so tailgaters of Tennessee. $3,300.
No, what she brought, she said, I'm the gift. I'm the gift.
Someone said that's the ketchup, not even the mustard. Amy Adams donating $3,300 is like bringing a 4-pack of beer for only her and her to drink.
Yeah.
Oh, that happens.
Yeah.
I've seen that happen.
Yeah, she brought some Chipotle now.
Chipotle.
She got those out the glove department.
Everything she brought has someone else's logo on it. It's a freebie that she had in her drawer.
Yeah,
she re-gifted some cookout material.
$3,300, man.
Congratulations to all of them. Toothpicks. Oh, wow. That's a great answer to a one.
Toothpaste.
Yeah, she brought the aluminum foil.
There you go. That's the mixtape. 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we get ready to hand off to our guys, Clint and Ron of The Drive. It'll only be an hour remaining till the trade deadline. Let's recap the things that have happened and the things that simply haven't. We'll do that next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula, all Tuesday long. We are about just over an hour away from the trade deadline for the 2024 NFL season. And the expectation is that your Texans will look the same. We've been talking about that all day, as I know Jonathan M. Alexander reported yesterday. And we continue to kind of get the proof of that as we're seeing some other moves being made. One of them, one of the main ones, obviously, being that your opponent for Sunday, the Detroit Lions, added Za'Darius Smith from the Browns. We anticipated that. The Commanders also went out of their way to try and get better, mm-hmm. adding Marshon Lattimore, a cornerback. The Pittsburgh Steelers finally got their wide receiver. That's a team that has the same amount of wins as you right now. I don't want to do the thing about who's better because I'm, sadly enough, not super sure as to what that looks like, but they add Mike Williams to help with that deep ball kind of that Russell Wilson has gotten going. Mm-hmm. A lot of teams making moves, and your Texans going to stand pat, it looks like. We've been having a lot of conversation about if they do indeed go all the way to the deadline and don't make a deal. Clearly, that's going to impact the offensive line. That's been where a lot of our focus is.
Yeah.
Is there anywhere else that you have any level of concern if there is not a move? Or was it always just for that left guard position that is now vacated by Kenyon Green being hurt?
I mean, we just talked about it in the last segment. It sounds weird because the defense is the strength of this team. But the secondary, the Texans' pass defense has given up the most touchdowns of any team in the entire NFL. They're actually tied now. After Thursday's game, they had the lead, but I guess the Jaguars gave up one or two. And so they've each given up, at the bottom of the barrel, 19 passing touchdowns. So that speaks to secondary. I from the very start of the season, I've been saying safety. But you bring up a good point. Like, that third wide receiver, man. I mean, you got to have a cornerback to be able to, you know, that slot guy. But then what do you do with Jalen Petrie, and how does that – I mean, that's almost like a whole makeover, you know?
Well, I mean, you can rotate guys in. And one of the things – I can't remember who mentioned it, but if I'm guessing, it's probably the morning show. Mm-hmm. but, like, what that could open up for you is if you have someone that you feel comfortable, and if maybe that someone is just Jeff Okuda returning from –
yeah, which he is.
From IR, right, which he was – we let – that was one of the things that we did learn yesterday, mm-hmm. is that him and Jerry Hughes – were being designated for return from injured reserve. Maybe if you had that cornerback, Petrie, as much as you moved him to this new role because of mm-hmm. concerns about safety, he could slide back to safety if necessary to give you a little bit of coverage there. Like, you could get some depth in that. But yeah, man, it feels like you definitely need that, because not only has that been a weakness, it's one thing for it to be a weakness, it's another thing for it to be a strategic weakness where teams come in and they go,
they pick
this
it.
Is the place where we can attack.
Absolutely.
Them,
right? And they've done it.
And we've seen it. We saw multiple mm-hmm. Multiple coordinators, including last week, Olbrecht, look at it and go, hey.
Right there.
We have a...
right there is where we're going.
We saw what's my guy in Minnesota? We saw Kevin O'Connell do the same thing where they go, hey,
yeah,
that guy right there, what if we get a really good wide receiver into that space and mm-hmm. now you have to guard him?
Yeah.
Right? You end up with Garrett Wilson catching the ball. You end up with Devontae Adams catching the ball. You end up with Justin Jefferson catching the ball. That's a weakness that's been very apparent. So that is a part. That is a spot that I have. That I was, you know, hoping that maybe you could do some level of addressing to. But I am maybe just hopefully. Maybe it's just off of hope alone.
Yeah.
But I am hopefully optimistic in the idea that, you know, Jeff Okuda coming in could help them out. If for no other reason, then maybe you could do a little bit of a shuffle when you need to, where Jeff Okuda plays outside and then Kamari Lassiter slides into the slot and handles some of those duties, just to give you guys that you feel more confident in man coverage and allow you to still have those tools in your tool bag for a tool belt rather for Matt Burke and D'Amico Ryan.
Here's the other part of that is they've also picked at the safeties and exploited matchups, you know, against Texans safeties. And we saw it. Was it MJ Stewart that had to match up against a wideout and gave up a touchdown.
That sounds familiar.
I believe that was in the Packers game, if I'm remembering that correctly. So it could be that. It could be a safety, but that's where I would be looking. But they're not
going to
do anything.
They're not going to.
Those
remain spots that this team is going to have to be very cognizant of, and it seems like their response has been just guys need to perform better.
Don't say what he said.
So what am I supposed to say then? Like, I understand where you're coming from. I just...
What you want him to say? What you want him to say? What is he supposed to say?
Just don't say we all have to play better. I've heard that like 17 times.
It is technically correct. I will say that. And that is the best kind of correct.
By the way, on trade deadline, you know, there is a little bit of, you know, obviously disappointment, but, you know, that's what they're going to do. It's also fun to see, like, DeAndre Hopkins is just giddy.
Oh, wow.
Giddy.
So as of 8 minutes ago, DeAndre Hopkins, now wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs, which, by the way, 2 touchdowns,
he's going to ball
yards,
out. He's going
to
ball
and
out.
And he just looks so damn comfortable in it, too. Like, running great routes, and then when he gets to the spot where the ball's supposed to be there,
describe that.
He sent a picture where his quote on the picture was just ellipses.
Nothing.
3 periods.
Yeah.
Right? The picture? Randy Moss from 2007 when he was with the New England Patriots with Tom Brady. Right? That was the time where Randy Moss showed
that's
up.
That's saying a lot.
And all of a sudden, Tom Brady throws for the most touchdowns than he ever does in his career.
And Randy Moss is
That's
just,
a little scary, yeah. man.
That was a terrifying time.
Yeah, because I think everybody thought Randy Moss was over. Like, it was washed.
Yeah.
Man, he had a resurgence, man.
Dude, he's giddy.
And he should be.
And he should be.
Oh, by the way, they undefeated.
Yeah, they remain. And what's funny is,
just like,
to this point, it had not, and I guess maybe this is just like, you can say this is an opinion as opposed to like fact. That's fair. Mm-hmm. It did not feel like this Kansas City Chiefs team has been like otherworldly. And yet still, undefeated. Mm-hmm. Talk less. And now, you add, don't come over here trying to ask for dap over here. Don't do that. Okay, very good. But now you add a bona fide threat. Mm-hmm. And DeAndre Hopkins only gets worse. So again, thanks for nothing, Tennessee, for doing that when it comes to AFC contention. But yeah, shout out to DeAndre Hopkins.
They got to worry about themselves, baby.
What's up?
Tennessee got to worry about themselves, man.
Oh, man. Well, they do have a lot to worry about.
How did they help themselves with the conditional fifth-round pick?
It could be a fourth they get to the Super Bowl.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, that's right. Fourth-round pick.
Fix, man. Get that money off.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. We got to. Gotta figure something out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't like how happy
I don't.
Right now.
You know what, Texans fans? We talked about this when it first happened. Like, just knowing the type of cat he is and knowing what he dealt with, and you all were here to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now you ain't got no heart if you ain't happy about it.
Oh, no, happy for him.
I said it on the air.
Now we got some heartless people out here.
Yeah,
but you ain't got no heart to me if you ain't looking out there. Like he.
No, it makes me sick that the Chiefs are all of a sudden.
But I talk about him.
I'm kind of happy for him.
He looked like
because he hasn't had anybody.
John,
for a little bit,
I thought he's going to cry on the sideline.
We just
thought he did after the game in the interview.
See the picture he just tweeted.
Yeah, did you see the picture?
Yeah, him and Tom.
Well, Randy Moss
and Tom.
He's giddy.
I told Clint, I said he'll play for the Chiefs for $2 million next year.
Yeah.
Just want to win, guys. Fellas, I just want to be a part of it.
Clint, did you ever have a wide receiver that you just felt like that when you just, oh man, I'm so happy to play with this cat?
Anthony Lucas. Yeah. Absolutely. My boy Anthony Lucas in college. Yeah, it was he made me look good. I made some terrible ass throw go balls. I threw some bad go balls. Boy, I'd miss 2-3 yards inside.
That was your strength.
I'd miss that about.
I covered you.
In the
Did you
box
know that? I covered this team.
It was my strength because of number 80. I mean, literally, if we got man-to-man coverage.
Stop. This is a two-time all SEC second team quarterback right here.
Dude, I covered that team.
Come on now. Holding yourself.
I may have interviewed Clint. I just don't remember it exactly. It might have been a gaggle.
You would have remembered that. You said how
like,
that
it might have been a group setting.
College?
Also known as a gagger.
How is that guy getting through college?
It's like, actually, I said, you know, I'm going to work with that guy one day.
Yeah, man. Anthony Lucas was.
That's certainly not what I thought when I watched Clint playing back in the day. You know what? That guy right there. I'm going to work with that dude.
Yeah, man. You got it's. I like that combo, man. That we talked about it when that trade first went down, man. Just the way that. You know, the air raid system that Pat Mahomes came up in, And how they've really leaned, Andy Reid has really leaned into that, kind of that way of thinking. And then not necessarily that Hopkins played in that system, although he did in Arizona.
Yeah, that's,
obviously. Mm-hmm. So he knows the system and kind of the concepts. But his style of play is very much.
Oh, yes.
Right? I mean, it's not like we're going to take my four outside steps and look over my inside shoulder. He's more of a feel guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's more of a spacing guy.
Mm-hmm.
Make himself available. Contact doesn't bother him. And that just plays so well into the way Pat Mahomes plays the game.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's very similar to the way that he and Travis Kelce, Pat and Travis Kelce have so much success.
Yeah.
Right? So much of it is backyard ball, which is really, hey, find the weak spot in this little zone or sit over the middle and I'm gonna get the ball
and
to
get
you.
And get leverage.
Yeah, yeah. And it's,
get leverage.
So you talk about a guy that's just a, in theory it was a good fit, and then watching it last night, it was just, came to fruition, man.
You know, it's been two games. I was not concerned. I wondered. The Chiefs just have never, like in the Andy Mahomes, they just hadn't had a receiver like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of separation, not just a, hey, you know, throw it up. I'm open. I'm always open.
Yeah.
They haven't had a big body guy. Well, I wondered last night, and he just threw that ball up into a crowd of three people. And
yeah,
you get it.
That big old Joker.
You get it.
To have that threat in the red zone.
That's what's changing the red zone. Yeah. Like that right there. The space that Kelce had in the game too, because he's right there.
That body control, those hands.
I wondered last night.
It's always beautiful to have a guy that you can just go, he down there somewhere. That's one of the reasons why it's going to be so exciting once Nico Collins returns for this Texas team.
Mm-hmm.
It's evident. You need that, especially in some of those quick games.
I miss Nico.
Oh, badly.
Dang, what do you mean?
You too? I bet you don't miss him as much as CJ.
Or Bobby.
Yeah.
Man, need it so bad. So hopefully he didn't play, but you're going to need him on Sunday. All right, that's it for us in the loop. It's been a pleasure hanging out with you on this Tuesday. We leave you in very capable hands to discuss the last hour before the NFL trade deadline. You're listening to KLT, KLT, HD2, and Odyssey Sports Station. And right now, The Drive is live.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app